Washington Week. I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Would it be compromise or confrontation? The question was still unanswered at the end of this Washington Week as the time approached for President Ford to veto the congressionally passed suspension of his increased tariffs on oil imports. The White House claimed he had the votes to sustain his veto. Some Republican nose counters on Capitol Hill were far less certain. But Mr. Ford on Wednesday saw no choice but to fight for his energy program in the absence of a Democratic alternative.
I'm willing to cooperate, but we have to have something to cooperate with. And so far, they have not come up with anything where they're in agreement. So until they do, we're going to pursue our plan, which I think is fair and equitable and a solution to the energy problem.
But the very next day, Chairman of Special House and Senate Democratic Task Forces announced agreement on the outlines of an energy plan. And the Senate Chairman, John Pastore, reached for the President's seeming olive branch.
This is our alternative plan to the President's plan.
And
we're hopeful that the President will invite us to the White House to see if we can't get together on a program that is meaningful for the people of this country.
At first glance, the Democratic and administration plans appeared far apart. The Democrats rejected the administration dependence on higher fuel costs to conserve oil, fearing a further depressing effect on the economy. They sought a less drastic cutback and a search for alternative fuels financed by a 5-cent-a-gallon gasoline tax. Nevertheless, the twain did at least meet, as reported from the White House by Robert Pierpoint.
After weeks of wrangling at long distance over a national energy program, the President and the Democratic leaders from Congress now may be moving toward compromise. The first condition for that movement, as Mr. Ford himself has frequently said, was for the Democrats to come out with a plan of their own as a basis for negotiation. In a meeting here Friday, the Democratic leaders presented their plan, and the President agreed to make a close study of it this weekend while his experts put some of their figures through the computers. By Monday, the President said he would come up with an answer to the Democrats' proposal that he postpone for 60 days the imposition of a second and third dollar increase on his already imposed $1 per barrel oil import tax. One Democrat told the President that if Congress could not come up with a suitable energy program in 60 days, he would be justified in reimposing his oil tariffs. After the Democrats had left, apparently well pleased that a compromise program might be in the offing, the Republican leaders met with President Ford. By that time, more White House aides had gotten a good look at the Democrats' plan, and as one put it, the more you look at it, the thinner it gets. Federal Energy Administrator Frank Zarb told the President and the Republican leaders that the important thing to determine over the weekend is whether the Democrats' plan meets the Ford administration's minimum goals for solving the energy crisis. And Zarb added that at first glance, it does not meet them. Nevertheless, that first presidential condition has now been met, and President Ford is studying the Democrats' proposal. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
Whatever the outcome of the energy struggle, Mr. Ford saw other problems ahead. He warned it would be June before taxpayers got their recession-fighting rebates if the House attached a provision repealing the oil depletion allowance to the tax cut bill. The House did vote the provision, though Chairman Russell Long indicated a less certain future in his Senate Finance Committee.
But I think most Americans want that tax cut. They want to see the economy going along, and they don't want us to spend our time on tax reform proposals, delaying that tax cut.
Another veto battle appeared brewing as the Interior Committees of both Senate and House voted out strip mining control bills, very much similar to the measure the President vetoed last year, as too inflationary and harmful to the effort to make the nation energy independent. The administration this week launched a major effort to win congressional approval of the emergency aid appropriations for Cambodia and South Vietnam. Secretary of State Kissinger spoke in particular of an immediate emergency in Cambodia.
We have a situation where if a supplemental is not voted within the next few weeks, it is certain that Cambodia must fall because it will run out of ammunition.
But what congressional critics could not obtain was an assurance that it was certain that Cambodia would survive if the aid were voted. The best they could get was a statement from Secretary of Defense James Schlesinger that there was a high probability it would. And he appeared to modify even that relative optimism a day later. Schlesinger received orders from President Ford this week to look into discriminatory practices in the assignment of U.S. military personnel overseas. The orders came after witnesses for the Army Corps of Engineers candidly admitted that the Corps, in keeping with Saudi Arabian visa regulations, excludes Jews from personnel sent to that country. They appeared at a Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee hearing, where Chairman Frank Church also made public a list of over 1,500 American firms blacklisted by the Saudis because of alleged Israeli connections.
I think that it should receive full publicity so that everyone in this country might know of the effort being made by the Saudi Arabian government to impose a pattern of anti-Semitism upon our own business life.
There was candid testimony before another committee of the Congress this week. Attorney General Edward Levy finally confirmed what has been long suspected, that the late FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover did keep private files of derogatory information on members of the Congress and the executive branch.
Some of the derogatory material was developed as a result of official investigations by the Bureau. Some was furnished by another government agency. And some was furnished by informants. Included in the public figures or prominent persons category were presidents, executive branch employees, and 17 individuals who were members of Congress. In the latter category, two of the individuals are still in the Congress.
Levy is among the new faces in the Ford cabinet, and there will be more. The president announced this week that Frederick Dent is leaving as Secretary of Commerce and being named Special Trade Representative. Mr. Ford's nominee for Secretary of Housing, Mrs. Carla Hills, won approval by the Senate Banking Committee this week after fencing with some Democrats who wondered what an assistant attorney general could know about housing.
I didn't solicit this job, and I have been aware that I was nominated about 10 days ago, or maybe it's 14 now. But the fact of the matter is, I am committed to the problems, the social problems that are presented to this nation. And I have a reputation for integrity. And I think that with my administrative capacity, that I can bring something to this job. But beyond that, I cannot say. And I am not prepared to make promises where I have not done adequate study.
Vice President Nelson Rockefeller was roundly criticized this week by conservatives for some of his rulings during Senate debate over changes in the Senate debate rules. And Rockefeller was still smarting that night when reporters asked about possible presidential ambitions in 1976 or 1980.
I don't think anyone gives a good goddamn, if you'll forgive me, about 1980 politics, and I think you make a tremendous mistake even thinking about it. I think it shows a loss of focus of the crisis proportion of the problems we face today, and I resent it as a politician that people think that all I'm interested in is politics when I'm trying to solve the problems or help the president in meet the problems of today.
President Ford seemed unafraid to think politics, however, as he addressed young Republicans at the White House.
We think this is a great home. It's a great home. And Betty doesn't like to move very often. I guess that leads to the conclusion that I'm going to undoubtedly, without any question of a doubt, at the proper time, be a candidate.
So, The Washington Week, produced by Ellen Wadley. I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News.